My petition for spiritual help from Patrick Henry. During December 2007, a friend who attended the Mass of Father Joseph sent an email saying Father Joseph wanted to visit with me. Arrangements were made and we met December 26, 2007. Father Joseph Noen, OFM, was ordained by Bishop Louis Brazalis, OFM. He is mainly located now in Lubbock, Texas. However, he goes out to run the missions in Arizona, California, and other places. During our visit, I asked Father Joseph how he has jurisdiction. Father Joseph's explanation was that Bishop Brazalis received ordinary jurisdiction at the time he was consecrated, and then he delegates jurisdiction to the priests. Father Joseph did not have any books with him, so he could not show any reference sources that explain how bishops automatically received jurisdiction as a result of their consecration. I was asked to go to the friar's website for the information, and if I did not find it, to contact Bishop Brazalis and Bishop Giles. I asked the bishops if they would please explain two major things. First, how traditionalist movement bishops and priests have ordinary and delegated jurisdiction. Second, how they were consecrated, and how did they consecrate others without sin being committed and excommunications taking place. Bishop Giles Butler, OFM, who was consecrated by Bishop Brazalis, sent me the following links to obtain the December 2007 and January 2008 issues of the Seraph. http://friarsminor.org/pdf/28-04_12-07 serif.pdf. And the second hyperlink is http://friarsminor.org/pdf/28-05_01-08serif.pdf. I read from the Seraph that what Bishop Brazalis wrote regarding the subjects of jurisdiction and the papal mandate. I do not agree with him and Father Joseph that when bishops are consecrated, they automatically receive ordinary jurisdiction immediately from God, without receiving jurisdiction through a pope. The same friend, who was attending the Mass of Father Joseph, encouraged me to write and explain why I do not agree with the bishops and Father Joseph. That is why this letter has been written. To begin with, my letter was written and sent just to this same friend, Father Joseph, Bishop Giles, and Bishop Brazalis. Neither the two bishops nor Father Joseph answered that main letter I sent to them. Therefore, I now send my petition for spiritual help to you and traditionalist movement clerics. I hope that you will help me spiritually and answer my questions. At this time, I probably do not understand this important subject of jurisdiction the same way as most of the traditionalist movement clerics and lay people. Many of them attend Mass and receive sacraments with what I will assume is a clear conscience. Somehow, most of them justify their actions by saying they believe in this is what God wants of them. However, my conscience does not allow me to do the same thing they do. Therefore, they must know something I do not know. There are contradictions, and one or both of us must be wrong. I think the Church permits me to seek the truth. For me, that means asking questions of those who do not accept the writings of the popes, etc., the same way I understand these teachings of the Catholic Church. As you read the rest of this letter, you will find that I asked many questions to obtain the correct answer to the important question, how do bishops receive jurisdiction? I ask you, please, to reply to this letter and send your answers to all the questions that are numbered between this type of bracket. My own answers to the questions are yes. If you answer no, please explain why and send your answers to Patrick Henry, 7350 South Highway 191, Apartment 4, Safford, Arizona, 85546, USA. Or email jmj@jmjsite.com. I am, of course, hoping that you will send me your answers. Note, if your answers are all yes, which are the same as my answers, you can simply say, my answers are the same as your answers. Or if most of your answers are the same as mine, you can answer something such as, my answers are the same as yours except questions, blank, blank, and blank. After that, simply comment on the questions in which you disagree with me. If you have a justified reason for not sending me your answers, please do at least the following. A. Write down the answers for your own use. B. Then review and see if all your answers are in conformity with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Are all your answers according to right reason? St. Thomas teaches in Part 2 of Part 2, Question 168, Article 4. I answer that, in human affairs, whatever is against reason is a sin. C. If you are a cleric or religious, then, in addition to answering the questions, also make your answers available to be read by all those in your parish or community. D. If you are a lay person, please do not support any cleric or religious who will not answer the questions and make them available to be read by everyone in the parish or community. Thank you for your cooperation. I will be waiting for your reply. If I have erred, teach thou me. From the book of Job, chapter 34, verse 32. Yes, my words are those of Job. If I have erred, teach thou me. Please teach me by answering my questions. Thank you. Quote, let my heart be undefiled in thy justifications, that I may not be confounded. Unquote. Psalm 118:80. At this time, I am confounded in any attempt to justify everything going on in the traditionalist movement. Quote, make me to understand the way of thy justifications. Give me understanding. Unquote. From Psalm 118. A great way for you to make me understand the way of your justifications and give me understanding is to help me by answering the questions I ask in this letter. I am willing to pay bishops $200 and priests $100 each for answering the questions I am asking in this letter on the following conditions. A. That they answer all the questions numbered within this kind of bracket. B. That they send me a copy of all their answers. C. That they make available a copy of this letter with their answers to all those who attend their Mass and receive sacraments from them. D. That they encourage their parishioners to read this letter with their answers. E. That at least 40% of their parishioners also send me a copy of their own answers to this letter and do the following three things. 1. Who at the same time verify that the bishop or priest encouraged them to read and answer this letter. 2. Who at the same time verify that the bishop or priest provided a copy of this letter with his answers for all the parishioners to read. 3. Who at the same time verify, to the best of their knowledge, approximately how many other people also receive sacraments from the same bishop or priest. Note, in this letter, when I ask questions about clerics in the lines of succession of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre or Archbishop No Ding Thuc or the Novus Ordo bishops, I'm referring only to those consecrations and or ordinations that took place after 1958, unless I state otherwise. Archbishop Thuc consecrated bishops before Vatican II. I am concerning myself with those consecrations and ordinations that have taken place since the death of Pope Pius XII. I found this information on the Wikipedia website. Quote, in this Vietnamese name, the family name is No but is often simplified as "no" in English language text. According to Vietnamese custom, this person properly should be referred to by the given name Thuc, unquote. Therefore, I will normally write Archbishop Thuc, although Bishop Rosales uses the family name of No. Unless I am quoting what others have written, I shall not be putting question marks around bishop or priest or religious, as is sometimes done when one questions if the status of such a person is valid and licit. If Bishop Giles and Bishop Rosales leave the links up to their website, you can read the articles online that Bishop Rosales wrote in the Seraph. There you can see wherein he used bold and or italics or capital words. Sometimes if I quote others, and if you see something in bold, underlined, or italics, it is usually added by Patrick Henry and not in the original. My friend, the one who asked me to visit Father Joseph, wrote the following. Hi, Patrick. I had read Mystici Corpus Christi before several times, and it has been explained to me that Pius XII, when understood correctly in the way it was explained in school for Bishop Louis Rosales, explains there is a distinction made between the Supreme Pontiff and the Roman Pontiff. Supreme Pontiff being Christ, and Roman Pontiff being his holy vicar on earth. I wanted to show you that Bishop Rosales has always made this distinction quite clear. It was taught to him way before Vatican II in school that the two titles are two different people, one being Christ and the other Christ vicar. And if you go back and read Mystici Corpus Christi applying it with that in mind, it does have a distinct different meaning than if you applied both Supreme Pontiff and Roman Pontiff as one and the same. It would read that they are given ordinary jurisdiction by Christ upon their consecration, but use it under the direction of the head pontiff. I am not arguing with you. I am just trying to figure this all out as well as you. In the January 2008 issue of the Seraph, Bishop Rosales wrote to explain his own view, analysis, and belief about this important matter as to when and how bishops receive ordinary jurisdiction. He also wrote about bishops being consecrated without a papal mandate. Therefore, let us read a long section of what Bishop Rosales has written. Quoting, by virtue of divine right, the bishops possess an ordinary power of government over their diocese, de fide. This means that anyone who would deny this dogmatic truth is a heretic, since heretics are not members of the mystical body of Jesus Christ, namely the Catholic Church. They cannot hold any office or position in the Church. The Vatican Council declared, quote, this power of the Pope is in no way derogates from the ordinary and immediate power of episcopal jurisdiction by which bishops, who have been set by the Holy Ghost to succeed and hold the place of the apostles, feed and govern each in his own flock as true pastors, but rather this authority is asserted, strengthened, and vindicated by the supreme and universal pastor, unquote, from that part of Denzinger, 1828. This doctrinal decree of the Vatican Council is also affirmed in the encyclical letter of Pope Pius XIII, Satis Cognitum, see paragraph 1896, likewise by the Code of Canon Law, number 329, part 1. What do these declarations mean? It may be said that they are clear enough. However, nothing is ever clear for those who chafe at having to obey another person. They seek every possible means to either cast into doubt the doctrine and discipline, canon law, of the Church, or to formulate their own versions more suitable to their subjective wishes and ambitions. An ordinary power means that it is an integral part of the episcopal office. It is similar to the ordinary power, authority, that parents have over their children. To say parent is to imply children, and to say children is to imply parents. There are no parents without children, and there are no children without parents. This power is an immediate power. Immediate means that it is not practiced at the order of a superior. The bishop acts in his own name. Bishops are not, therefore, delegates, agents, and not vicars, representatives of the Pope. This power of the bishop is appointed by God. The apostles, based on a divine ordinance, whether in the immediate commission of Christ or on the Bishop Louis Vizalis OFM, Direction of the Holy Ghost, see Acts 20:28, have passed on their pastoral office to the bishops. The bishops are the successors of the apostles, not in such a way that an individual bishop is a successor of an individual apostle, but that the bishops in their totality are successors of the College of Apostles. This power is a true pastoral power, since it embraces all the ecclesiastical powers belonging to the exercise of the pastoral office, namely, the power to legislate, to judge, and to punish. See Canon Law 335, Part 1. It is a power that is local, that is, it is limited to a definite part of the Church and is circumscribed by the papal power which is superior to it. However, matters of greater consequence affecting the entire Church are reserved to the Pope canonically elected. We have just seen how the official Church emphasizes the fact that a bishop receives his powers directly from the Holy Ghost. Consequently, there could be no viable theory that would falsify this doctrinal fact by wishing that episcopal power be given, not immediately from the Holy Ghost, but immediately from the Pope. Such a theory does violence to what has already been dogmatically stated by the Church, and reaffirmed on more than a few occasions by popes themselves. Where does this false theory originate? First of all, its primary source is found to come from those corners of the Church that would see the Pope as a monarch rather than as a vicar of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the monarch, the King of Kings. A legitimate Pope is not a king, he is only a vicar of the King. This essential difference would easily explain away the erroneous opinion known as the papal theory. Unscrupulous and/or poorly informed individuals think they are doing the Church a kindness by sidestepping her teachings under the desire to give support to the papacy. The papacy needs no human support. It has all the supernatural support it needs from the Holy Ghost, who is the soul of the Church. The Church teaches that bishops receive their fullness of power immediately, directly from the Holy Ghost. Unless we're willing to make a pope equal to the third person of the Blessed Trinity, this opinion, merely an opinion, cannot be valid. Even though Pope Pius XII made an effort to once again repeat the teachings of the Church on the subject, obstinate people with an intellectual blind spot refused to follow the Church's teaching. Observe how the words of Pope Pius XII are clear to those who believe and are completely faithful to the Church. Quote, "Each of them, that is the bishops, is also, as far as his own diocese is concerned, a true pastor who tends and rules in the name of Christ the flock committed to his care. In discharging this function, however, they are not completely independent, but are subject to the proper authority of the Roman pontiff, although they enjoy ordinary power of jurisdiction received directly from the Sovereign Pontiff himself." Unquote. From Denginger 2287 and also from Denginger 1500. Note well the distinction Pope Pius XII makes between Roman Pontiff and Sovereign Pontiff. And who is this Sovereign Pontiff? Here, the Sovereign Pontiff is Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Ghost, the Sanctifier, who guides the Church. We will see why this theory, already erroneous from the beginning, creates a theological monstrosity which, cuddled by ambitious men, clergy and laity alike, leads to the denial of the Church's indefectibility. In other words, it leads to the logical consequence that either the present-day Church has ceased to exist because of the rampant heresy in it, or heresy is compatible with the soul of the Church, the Holy Ghost. The true Church cannot be either insane, as some insane persons would suggest, nor can it be an error on the slightest point of doctrine. I do not think that there is room in the consistency of the Church's teaching and practice to suggest what should have been obvious from the beginning. Based on the teaching of the Church that bishops receive their powers directly and immediately from the Holy Ghost, these Catholics maintain that fact and, in light of the undeniable truth, explain the doctrine in the following rational manner. Each individual bishop receives his pastoral power directly from God, as does the Pope. This is what Pope Pius XII said in his encyclical letter, as quoted above. The activity of the Pope in the nomination or ratification of a bishop consists in that he allocates to the bishop a definite territory in which he is to exercise the power received immediately from God. Historically, it can be shown that in Christian antiquity and in the early Middle Ages, the choice of bishop by clergy and people was not always ratified by the Pope. Unquote of this long quotation from the writings of Bishop Louis Frizalis.